presentation will begin. Our presentation will begin by commenting on some of the recent relevant events. Next, I will briefly review our consolidated results. Afterwards, I will pass the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will discuss operational and financial performance. Finally, we will be providing our updated guidance for the year 2021 prior to the question and answer session. Let's move to slide number 3 to comment on some of the recent relevant events. During the quarter, the company invested 48.9 million soles as part of the construction of its upcoming new melt shop facility. The new melt shop facility will have a capacity of over 1.25 million tons of liquid steel. This investment will total $220 million, and it's being financed through a financial lease. Nonetheless, a complementary investment amount of $23 million was approved in April. Works are expected to be finished during the third quarter of 2021. We just began the ramp-up process. In June, the board of directors approved an additional dividend payment of $27.9 million, which was paid on July 15. The recent dividend paid was approved as an additional amount on top of the company's dividend policy. In July, a fourth consecutive year, the firm received the Empresa Socialmente Responsable Distinguished, recognizing it as a social responsible firm during 2020, and received a special mention in the environmental category for its circular economy strategy. Finally, also in July, the company acquired the assets of two scrap yards in the state of Florida in the United States. We expected to collect at least 100,000 tons of scrap metal a year for our consumption. This acquisition was executed through two recently created subsidiaries in that country, Aceros Arequipa, Port Manatee, and Aceros America, San Pitts. Aceros America, Port Manatee, and Aceros America, San Pitts. With this acquisition, we accomplished an additional step into the strengthening our vertical integration strategy by securing the sourcing of recycled steel for to produce top quality steel. Now, please turn to slide number 4 for a quick look into our financial results. Please note that all figures are unaudited and on a consolidated basis. Additionally, any growth rates presented will be year over year unless stated otherwise. During the second quarter of 2021, the company continued to experience a positive market response following the lifting of the national lockdown that affected the second quarter 2020 results. Consequently, revenue was over four times higher year over year. Profitability results were above comparative figures of 2020, as revenue for the quarter was also driven by higher average selling prices. Consequently, EBITDA and net profit, which were negative during the second quarter 2020, show a significant improvement. During the quarter, CAPEX reached 84 million soles, mainly driven by 32 million soles that were allocated towards the new melt shop facility. As of the end of June 21, working capital requirements were higher, mainly due to higher inventories and accounts receivable. Finally, consolidated net debt increased 157%, mainly due to a higher short-term debt. Now, I would like to turn the floor to Ricardo Guzmán, our CFO and IRO, who will further discuss financial performance for the quarter. Ricardo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Tulio. Good afternoon to everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. Please let's move to slide number 6 for a review of our consolidated revenue performance. During the quarter, consolidated revenue jumped to 1.2 billion soles, driven by both higher volumes, as the second quarter of 2020 was negatively affected by COVID restrictions, and higher average prices. The revenue increase was also driven not only by domestic revenue, but also exports as well. During the quarter, exports revenue, for which the Bolivian market continued to be a main destination, represented 11% of total consolidated revenue, compared to 20% in the second quarter of 2020. On a per product basis, all products categories experienced an increase in revenue. Revenue of rebars, wire rods, and merchant bars, core categories, jumped by 664 million and 76 million soles respectively, while revenue of other products, which mainly include imported products such as steel sheets and tubes, rose by 233 million soles. Finally, revenue figures for the first half of the year also rose significantly, with an increase of 1.5 billion soles or 169% year over year. Now let's move to slide number 7 to discuss our profitability measures. Gross profit for the period reached 331 million soles, 335 million above the figures of the second quarter of 2020. Profit was boosted by a higher sales volume and higher average selling prices, contributing to a jump in gross margin from negative 2% during the second quarter of 2020 to 27% during this quarter. Moreover, EBITDA for the quarter jumped to 265 million soles, a 280 million soles increase compared to that of the second quarter of 2020, while EBITDA margin reached 22%, 28 percentage points above the negative 6% reached in the second quarter of 2020. On the first half of the year, both growth and EBITDA were well above the comparative period of 2020 by 579 and 485 million respectively. Now, let's take a closer look into drivers of EBITDA increase on slide number 8. As we commented earlier, EBITDA for the quarter was 265 million, 280 million higher compared to that of the second quarter 2020, mainly driven by a 336 million increase in gross profit. EBITDA increased despite higher SG&A expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, by 57 million, while other net operating expenses excluding assets for sales or write-offs, lowered by 1 million. SG&A, excluding depreciation and amortization, increased mainly due to higher personal expenses, third-party expenses, and allowances for doubtful account. Nonetheless, SG&A, excluding depreciation and amortization as a percentage of revenue, lowered to 6.9% compared to 11.7% as of the second quarter of 2020. EBITDA margin reached 22%, 28 percentage points above the compare figure during 2020, following a higher gross margin and lower SG&A and other expenses as a percentage of revenue. Finally, EBITDA for the first half of the year was 562 million, which was over 6 times above the figure as of the first half of 2020. Now let's move to slide number 9 to comment on this quarter net profit. During the second quarter of 2021, net profit was 170 million soles, 209 million soles higher year over year as a result of a higher operating profit by 278 million, lower net financial expenses by 5 million, and an additional 1 million of income from subsidiaries and affiliates, which were partially offset by higher expenses and currency exchange differences and higher income tax by 73 million. Finally, during the first half of the year, net profit reached 365 million, which was 365 million above the figure of the first half of 2020. Let's move now to slide number 10 to discuss our debt metrics. As of June 2021, the total financial debt was 2 billion, 810 million higher than that as of December 2020. This was mainly due to higher short-term debt, which reached $992 million, in line with increases in working capital requirements. The debt balance for the new melt shop increased to $711 million as the project's construction continued. Consolidated net financial debt reached 811 million soles compared to that as of December 2020 and reached 1.3 billion as total debt was higher. Consequently, despite a higher EBITDA for the last 12 months, the consolidated net financial debt to EBITDA ratio increased to 1.48 times from 1.26 times registered as of December 2020. As of June 2021, 64% of total debt was denominated in soles, 33% was denominated in US dollars, and 3% in bolivianos. The lease financing of the new melt shop signed with Banco de Crédito is structured in two contracts with a combined 10-year tenure with an initial three-year free principal payment for a total amount of $208 million. Now let's move to slide number 11 to discuss working capital and CAPEX. As of June 2021, operating working capital, which excluded cash available for sale assets and financial liability, increased to 1.2 billion soles, mainly driven by 790 million and 142 million increases in inventories and accounts receivables, respectively. Collections registered 54 days sales outstanding versus 64 days as of December 2020. And days payable were 110, lower than 128 as of December 2020. Now let's move to take a look to the CAPEX. During the quarter, CAPEX was 84 million, mostly consisting of 49 million from investments allocated toward the construction of the new melt shop, of which 32 million were financed through a finance lease and scheduled improvements of our rolling mill. Now let's turn to slide 12 to discuss cash flow. As of June 2021, total cash showed a slight decrease of 0.2% versus December 2020. Cash flow from operation was negative 531 million, mainly explained by higher working capital requirements, while cash flow from investing was negative 157 million, mainly due to investment in the acquisition of Confer of 64 million and investment in property, plant and equipment of 97 million. These were partially offset by 45 million ending cash balance of Confer after the acquisition. Our cash flow from financing was 641 million, which included net financing of 797 million, dividend payments of 146 million and interest payments of 10 million. It's important to point out that the capital leasing agreement of our new melt shop is not included in our cash flow from financing. Now let's turn to slide number 13 to comment on our updated guidance for the year 2021. We expect our revenue growth estimates for the full year to be above 60%, and we expect EBITDA to be above 800 million soles. The CAPEX target for the year is still expected to be between 450 to 540 million soles, subject to the appropriate board approvals. Consequently, dividend payments during 2021 are expected to be above 280 million, while the earnings per share ratio is expected to be higher than 0.50 soles. Well, thank you for your attention. This concludes our presentation. We are looking forward to answering all your questions. So at this point, we can move to the Q&A session of this presentation. Moderator, please proceed.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please message the host through Zoom chat and your microphone will be unmuted. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. I don't have any questions. I have a question from Enrique Grau. Enrique Grau, please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions and congrats on your results. I was wondering if these quarter's margins are sustainable looking forward. Right now, they are benefiting from higher selling prices, as you said, but could we expect this to continue in the next following quarters? And I have a follow-up question on that, and it is, when should the effect of the new melt shop be reflected on your margins? Thank you.
Ricardo?
Yes. Well, with respect to the first question about margins, this is a commodity market, so prices move in different directions in any time, but we still expect strong margins looking forward, probably getting into the fourth quarters or next year. Maybe they will have a soft landing, but we still expect very strong margins. With respect to the melt shop, we are now testing the melt shop. It's already doing some tests and melting some scrap. And during the third quarter, we will start operations, and the full impact will start at the end of this year and next year. I don't know, Tulio, if you want to complement something, but...
I agree with you. The better margin that reflect that our investment will be for the next year, mainly. No? And the reason is because we still have bills coming, imported bills coming to our factory.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another question from Carlos Carazas. Carlos, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions regarding the quarter results. The first is, which is the driving behind the Q over Q decrease in gross margin? I mean, which of the accounts in the cost of goods sold was the driver behind? And the second one is, if you can share with us a leverage guidance. I see that you are now in 1.5 net debt EBITDA. This is not the low. The low was the last quarter. And is it possible to figure out that this is your equilibrium or not? Thank you.
Yes, with respect to the leverage guidance, we are right now like a 1.5. We expect to not get above 2.2, 2.5, maybe next year. But it will depend of the capex, of the level of capex, and the financial requirements that we would need if the capex is approved by our board and we execute the capex that we are thinking. On the first question, I didn't get it right, but what I assume you're asking, what were the drivers of the margins? We had really strong margins during the second quarter, and this specifically explained by prices, selling prices. You know, international market prices has been increasing in the last few months, and the local prices follow that trend. And usually what steel companies have, they have also inventory at lower prices, so we collect those margins when we raise prices. I don't know if that cover your question.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I do not have any further question. Is there anybody who wants to ask another question? Please let us know through the Zoom chat. I have a question from Gamze Alpar. Gamze, please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I just wanted to see whether you can give us a little color on the Florida acquisition. In terms of your scrap sourcing, what percentage of scrap will be sourced from Florida? And I remember in the previous calls you saying that, well, it's a little bit more expensive than regional sourcing you do. Again, if you can give us a little color in terms of how expensive it is compared to your regional sourcing. Thank you.
Tulio, if you want me, I can.
Okay. Normally, we import 50% of the scrap on a regular basis. It's local scrap, and the rest is imported from the state, Maine. The Florida yard will represent about 15% of our total scrap that we need. And normally, the scrap prices in the States are higher than the local prices, of course, because the States export to the world scrap, and we are an importer of scrap. I don't know if that's color your question.
Yeah.
Answer your question.
And I can complement too if you allow me. The acquisition that we made on Florida, we created one blocker company, which is Aceros America Corporation. This is a subsidiary of Aceros Arequipa. And this blocker corporation created two LLCs in the United States. One LLC is Aceros America Permanente, as Tulio mentioned, and the other company is Aceros America Saint Pete LLC. Each of these companies bought two yards. No? One bought one, and the other one bought the other one. The assets. The Permanente is a scrap metal recycling facility and also sells internationally the byproducts. And the Saint Pete's is a smaller yard, which we purchase scrap metal mainly from paddlers. So this small yard also fits the larger yard. As mentioned, as Tulio mentioned, we expect these yards to collect 100,000 tons of scrap. You know, our capacity of the electric arc furnace is 1.2 million. So 1.2 million. To fit a 1.2 million capacity when it start working at full capacity, it will require 1.300 million tons of scrap. So, but that's when it's fully in operation. And we locally collect around, Tulio, how much? 400,000, 450,000 tons of scrap?
Exactly, yes. Half million tons a year.
A 500,000 tons. So that give you a size of this new yards is 100,000 tons. So we still need to look forward in looking for opportunities if we want to own more scrap yards to fit totally our electric arc furnace.
And these opportunities will be for you again in the US?
Most probably, yes, because it's
Yes.
the main,
Yeah.
the main supplier. We just put our first foot in the United States. We want to understand the market, to control the operation there, and probably we will decide to move to another opportunities.
And I have one more question, please, if I may. We see that both looking at your results and some of the Peruvian cement companies have also come up with results. The volumes seem to be very strong. I guess post-COVID domestic demand, self-construction, etc., seems to be running very hot. And obviously, you've also gone through these elections that create a little bit of uncertainty, but that did not seem to have an impact on on the construction work. I mean, how do you see the economic climate going forward in terms of your business, in terms of the demand?
Who knows? Who knows? Probably we expected lower local sales in the coming months, but offset by higher exports. We just opened an office in Colombia. We just bought the first ships there for more than 20,000 tons of pre-bars. And we expected to do the same in other parts of Latin America and Canada. For that reason, we are going to compensate the volume, the local volumes, that probably we are going to lose in the coming months. But on the other hand, we expect also that the self-construction and the infrastructure sector could grow a lot with a new government. For that reason, we don't know. We don't know exactly what will happen.
Yeah, and also we are expecting who the government or who Pedro Castillo nominees for his ministries. So I think we'll have more information in the next coming weeks.
But I strongly believe that will be boosted the self-construction and infrastructure sector. Not yet immediately, but in for next year probably.
Thank you very much for this. Thank you.
Pleasure.
We have another question from Philip Curry. Philip, please go ahead.
Hello, Tulio. Hi, Ricardo. Thank you very much for the presentation. I have two questions. My first question is to try and get an idea of how volumes are different in 2Q versus, the last two or three quarters. Because obviously with the prices rising, it's, we're assuming that, probably the large majority of the increase in revenues is the result of, price increases rather than volume increases. And to try and get an idea also of what level of capacity utilization you're operating at, and whether you're having to import finished products in order to satisfy, the demand you're seeing in the market. That's question one. Question two is to try and separate the inventory effects in your margins, right? So obviously you've got relatively low cost, let's say at the beginning of the quarter or at the beginning of Q1, you had relatively low inventory, and then prices rise and you obviously sell that inventory at much higher prices, but then you need to replace that inventory at a higher cost, right? So there's the margins we're seeing, I guess we assume are, not necessarily sustainable going forward due to that one-off inventory effect. Thank you.
Okay, with respect to volume, even though we don't disclose volumes, I can tell you that the second quarter was very similar to the first quarter of this year. Volumes, of course, compared to volume of last year, of the quarter last year, is pretty high. I mean, we started the closure of the plant, of the warehouses. We have the curfew in place. So compared to 2020, it won't help that much. But if we want to compare first quarter versus second quarter, they were almost the same. With respect to margins, if we focus on the gross margin, we are talking that it lowers a bit, but as you mentioned, of course we had a lot of demand once the quarantine or the curfew were stopped and we opened operations, and that has an impact on stocks by the end of last year, that we were low, all the market was very low on stock, but I will say that for the second quarter margins, we have already replenished all the stock. So second quarter margins that are a little bit lower than first quarter margins is a reflect of course of that in new inventory, but also prices has been since the beginning of the year has been increasing. So that compensated somehow the imported of products.
But yes. For the rest of the year, we expected a lower margin.
So, yeah, yeah.
Already done in guidance. It's already on our way guidance.
Yeah, especially for what we import the most is besides, of course, products that we don't produce. Are billets. So we have one last import of billets, and as you know, international prices for billets has been increasing. But once we consume that last import, we will be able to auto produce our own billets through our new mill shop.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There appears to be no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Silvio for closing remarks.
Thank you all for your joining us today. You are all welcome to join us in our third quarter 2021 call in October to continue to discuss Aceros Arequipa results. Good afternoon and stay safe.